Today on the Gary Zimek Show, we'll talk about prayer plus a lot more. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey, what's up? Come on in. Make yourself at home. My name's Gary Zimek, and it's great to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio for another week of the program. Hope you all had a great weekend. I had a great Father's Day. If you're a father, I hope you had a wonderful day as well. My daughters were great. Man, I'll tell you what, I had some great food. I started with, check this out for lunch. Now, if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, I think I put it on Facebook and Instagram. I had a kibasi sandwich on a freshly baked Italian roll, all right? Then I'm Polish. I don't know how much I talk about this on the show, but I just love my kibasi. So we found a place that really does some good kibasi. We grilled it up on a roll. My daughter Elizabeth made me some macadamia nut chocolate, white chocolate chip cookies, which I love white chocolate, so that was fantastic. And I topped it all off with a bottle of root beer. I don't know if you ever go to Cracker Barrel, but Cracker Barrel restaurants, they have these sodas flavored with real sugar, which is, I'm a big fan of, you know me with the beverage du jour, but I like my sodas with real sugar. But I got a bottle of root beer. It was, it was delicious with real sugar. And then, so that was my lunch. And then for dinner, we had some Italian sausage grilled up again on the grill in tomato sauce with spaghetti, some Italian bread. Oh, man, I had a wonderful day yesterday, food-wise and family-wise. It was just great. And it's a great privilege for me to be a father. I'm just so blessed to be able to have children. And on this day, I had a wonderful earthly father. He passed away in 2002. My dad was great. He always took good care of us. He was a great provider. But it also made me, this day also made me think about our Heavenly Father. We'll be talking to him in a few minutes. He takes such good care of us. So make sure you get to know your Heavenly Father. And again, I mentioned this on the program last week and probably before that as well. I'm going to have to do something about this. I wrote a book on becoming friends with Jesus. Well, now Jesus wants to draw us into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to know His Holy Spirit. We've got to have a personal relationship with the entire Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think that's challenging. I think I need to do something, whether it's a book, whether it's some blog posts, some programs. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm going to pray about it, but I think it'll be really beneficial. So anyway, we're going to talk to our Heavenly Father in a few minutes. Today on the program, we'll look at the Mass readings for Monday of the 12th week in Ordinary Time. And then we'll open up the Catechism of the Catholic Church, actually the Compendium of the Catechism, a simplified version, and take a look at prayer. And we'll really wrap up the talk on prayer. We've been talking about it over the past few weeks. Mondays is the day that I usually devote to what Catholics really believe. I like to dig into some of the teachings of the Catholic Church, which is why I'm going to do it on today's show. What is your beverage du jour, Gary? I'm sure that question is being asked around the world right now. Well, here we go. Okay, so I'm drinking this beverage in my double-handled Mystic Monk coffee mug. And if you haven't seen the picture, it's on Facebook. I put it on Instagram from the Mystic Monks. Obviously, it would only be appropriate that I would be drinking Mystic Monk coffee in this. And today I'm having Mystic Monk Summer Blend. So yeah, they have a special summer blend. Check it out, Mystic Monk Coffee. Great to have my supply back so I can drink it on the program. I drink it for breakfast in the morning. Mystic Monk Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink. Roasted by real monks, passionate for fine coffee. You can find out more at followingthetruth.com. Every purchase you make from my website helps me to continue in my full-time ministry. While you're at the website, please consider using my Amazon link anytime you shop from Amazon.com. If you just use the link on my website, that would help me a lot. It takes you into regular old Amazon, just the way as it normally is, but the fact that you come from my website generates some profits for me. So you can help me out there. Donations, if you want to see my work continue, you can become a monthly sponsor. I would really appreciate that. You can go to the donate page of followingthetruth.com and do it securely right from there. I can't thank you enough for your support. You are the reason I'm here, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And it's just a great blessing to be in my sixth year of doing this radio program on Blog Talk Radio. We're now expanded into iTunes and TuneIn Radio as well, so you can get the show in a number of different ways, and it's free of charge. That's why your donations are so important, because one of the reasons they're so important, because I can give you this program free of charge. We do it 30 minutes each night, Monday through Friday. The show originates on Blog Talk Radio, but it's also available in podcast form on TuneIn Radio and on iTunes. I have to take another sip of my coffee. I hope some of you were able to catch my appearance on Relevant Radio this morning. I was on with John Harper. I do that morning air program once each month. I talked about something that, man, I'll tell you, it's such a confusing, it's really such a confusing and frustrating subject. When God is silent, not when he says no, but when God is silent, I'm praying for something, I don't hear anything. And my world might even be crumbling around me. Things might seem to get worse. Lord, where are you? It happens all the time. But it doesn't mean that God is saying no. And if you get a chance, please go to relevantradio.com and listen to the podcast. And I really think it'll help. They told me that they liked the segment where they're going to try to re-air it again later in the week at a different hour. If I know anything about it, I'll let you know. But I think it's a really important topic because so many of us become frustrated. And I will tell you this. There is plenty of scriptural evidence. And the story that I cited was the Canaanite woman who initially, when she went to Jesus to ask, and this is in Matthew's gospel, when she went to Jesus, and I'll give you the exact chapter. She went to Jesus and she asked for a healing for her daughter who was possessed by a demon. Jesus' first reaction was he didn't answer her. He didn't say a word to her. This is in Matthew chapter 15. It begins in verse 21. Check this story out. Open your Bible later on if you get a chance and reread this. He didn't answer her word. Then the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying after us." He answered, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But then she came and knelt before him and said three simple words, "Lord, help me." And then he answered, "It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And believe it or not, after all that, she continued and said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then at that point, Jesus said, "Great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. The power of persistent prayer. And the question came up on the program about faith. If my child isn't healed, if my prayer isn't answered, does it mean that my faith is not strong enough? A lot of people beat themselves over this. They might pray for the healing of a relative and that relative dies, and they blame themselves because of their lack of faith. Please don't ever do that. If you're praying, it shows you have faith. Now, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, you can uproot trees, you can do incredible things. So if the faith grows from that point, if it's larger than a mustard seed, then you can even do more incredible things. But the very fact that you're praying implies that you are exercising your faith. If you didn't have faith, if you weren't using your faith, then you wouldn't even be praying. So please don't beat yourself up. If you're praying and God comes back with a no, the last thing you want to start doing is beating yourself up thinking that if only I had more faith, he would have answered. Don't do that. That's a big mistake. If you get a chance to listen to the podcast, I think you will enjoy it. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay. I just can't stop drinking this Mystic Monk Summer Blend. I'm one of these guys that can drink coffee even in the 90-degree weather. I just love my coffee. Let's pray, and then I want to talk about the Mass readings, and then we will talk about prayer. So we'll pray, we'll do Mass readings, and then we will talk about prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we realize that even though we forget about you sometimes, you are always with us. We are always in your presence wherever we go, whatever we do. You're always with us. Thank you. If we could only think of that, Father, we would never feel lonely. So we ask you to help us remember you throughout the course of the day. Help us to remember that you are there and that you love us and that you are always willing to listen to us. Help us to, as a result, continually turn to you with all of our needs. Sometimes we think we're pestering you, but we know that you love us. We know that you want us to ask you for what we need. And therefore, we come to you, Father, and we ask you, please accept our intentions and answer them in the best way possible. You know what that is. We also thank you, Father, for the gift of this new day. We thank you for the gift of nature. We thank you for the fact that you have sent us your Son, Jesus, to help us to know you better, to redeem us, and to be our friend. The real presence of Jesus is a great gift in our life, Father, and we thank you for that. We ask you to bless those who might be sick today, and please heal them. Please be with those who are lonely, who are anxious, those who are struggling with addiction, those who are dealing with financial difficulties, those who are dealing with religious persecution or maybe extreme weather condition, maybe no air conditioning in 90 or 100 degree weather. We ask you to help them. We ask you to help the homeless. And please let us know what we can do to help others. Please use us in any way that you can to help those around us. Father, I give you this show. I ask you to speak through me today. Allow the gifts of your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. And please let me speak your message this day. And please open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your message. We ask you to bless our priests, our nuns, our deacons. We ask you to put an end to abortion, to increase vocations, and to strengthen us so that we can be a light in the world to those around us. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, who loves us so much, and we ask for her prayers as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Always feels good when we pray. It feels even better when you pray with me. Remember, wherever you go, you can pray as you're running around doing things. Just pray for that grace. And the Holy Spirit can help you with this, to call to mind that you're in the presence of the Lord wherever you go. It's easy to forget that. We've got to train ourselves a little bit. But we can ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of his presence wherever we go. My name is Gary Zimek. You're listening to The Gary Zimek Show. Really clever name for a program, don't you think? It really fits nicely, but I'm just blessed to be with you here Monday through Friday. We do it on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Coming in September, total consecration to Jesus through Mary for the sixth year this year. I'm doing it like I've never done it before. I'm going to use different books, a lot of different sources to prepare us, the 33-day preparation for total consecration. This is going to be unlike any preparation for total consecration you've ever experienced before. I really mean that. And I'm going to look at St. Louis de Montfort's original guidelines, put it all together, and you're going to be prepared to consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary in, well, I'm going to start in September. The consecration is actually going to happen on October the 7th. If you've never done it before, you are in for a treat. If you have done it before, this is an excellent opportunity to renew your total consecration. Okay, here we go. Let's do the Mass readings now. This is from Monday of the 12th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the second book of Kings. Now, you're going to hear a lot of details in this reading. I want you to remember, there's going to be one simple message. This is a message that really runs throughout the Old Testament. We could really simplify this, but let's do the reading first. Second book of Kings, beginning in chapter 17. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, occupied the whole land and attacked Samaria, which he besieged for 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, the king of Assyria took Samaria and deported the children of Israel to Assyria, settling them in Hala at the Habor, a river of Gozan, and the cities of the Medes. This came about because the children of Israel sinned against the Lord, their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the dominion of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and because they venerated other gods. They followed the rites of the nations whom the Lord had cleared out of the way of the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel whom they set up. And though the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and seer, give up your evil ways and keep my commandments and statutes in accordance with the entire law, which I enjoined on your fathers and which I sent you by my servants the prophets, they did not listen, but were as stiff-necked as their fathers, who had not believed in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes, the covenant which he had made with their fathers, and the warnings which he had given them, till in his great anger against Israel, the Lord put them away out of his sight. Only the tribe of Judah was left. Okay, the message is, there are repercussions if you disobey God. And this is what happened to the Israelites over and over again throughout the Old Testament. We see it. It's in black and white. They follow the Lord. Things go smoothly. They turn away from the Lord and start to worship idols. And you guessed it. Everything falls apart. Now, before we make the mistake of looking at this as a history lesson, which it is, we want to also recognize that the Word of God is a dynamic, living, breathing document, and therefore the Lord is also speaking to us. What is he saying? The way of the world is telling us to go for the pleasure, instant gratification, do what we want, rationalism. Everything's fine. There is no such thing as good or evil. It's all objective. I mean, it's not no objective good or evil. It's all subjective. What's true for me might not be true for you. What's good for me might not be true for you. That's the message you're getting from the world. Just like the nations surrounding the Israelites who worshipped idols, they were tempted to do the same thing. It's real easy to turn on your TV, to look on the internet, to talk to your friends, and fall victim to the thinking of the world. The message of Christianity is countercultural, right? It goes against what the message of the world is. You're going to live eternally. I can't say it any more simply than this. You're going to live eternally. No matter what happens, you will live forever somewhere. It's not guaranteed that somewhere will be heaven. You've got to cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives you and obey his commands. In other words, you can't do whatever you want. The way of the world is going to send you to hell. The way of the world will send you to hell. The way of the Lord will send you to heaven. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? The choice is ours. We have to choose which we want. You don't need me to tell you what the answer is, but listen, this is something that can happen to any of us. Let's be careful. Let's be vigilant. Stay close to the Lord every day. Say your prayers, read your Bible, receive the sacraments as often as you can. Go to spend time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. These are things you can do. Pray. You know, this is what you need to do to stay close to him. It's challenging out there, but you have the help of the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized and confirmed, you got those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit working for you. Today's psalm is Psalm 60. Help us with your right hand, O Lord, and answer us. O God, you have rejected us and broken our defenses. You have been angry, rally us. You have rocked the country and split it open. Repair the cracks in it, for it is tottering. You have made your people feel hardships. You have given us stupefying wine. Have not you, O God, rejected us so that you go not forth, O God, with our armies? Give us aid against the foe, for worthless is the help of men. That's a prayer. Help us with your right hand, O Lord, and answer us. We all have needs. And one of the things we should be praying for is the ability to withstand the temptations that we are surrounded by every day. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know that prayer? There's a reason we pray those words. Because every day you're tempted to sin. And sin looks really good. That's the dangerous thing about sin. It looks attractive. It looks appealing. But that's because the devil's a liar. So continue to ask, pray each day for the grace to avoid sin, to follow the Lord, even when it might not be easy. Today's gospel, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, Jesus said to his disciples, stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye, while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. Not one of our favorite gospel passages, is it? But the words of Jesus, we need to hear these words. What does it mean to not judge? It does not mean that we can never correct somebody for committing a moral evil. Because sometimes, if I see somebody doing something wrong, and it's a child of mine, it might be a spouse, it might be a close friend, I don't want to see them eventually be punished for that sin by getting sent to hell, especially if it's something serious. So there's a time where we have to say, hey, what you're doing, it's not good. It's not good. Now, expect pushback. Expect the person to get angry. But if you really love somebody, you need to say it. You got to find the right time. That's where prudence, the virtue of prudence, comes in. You're not going to say it to them in the middle of a party where other people can hear. You'll do it in private. You'll do it as charitably as possible. You'll pray for the Holy Spirit to give you the right words. But there are times that we need to instruct the ignorant. That's one of the spiritual works of mercy. Right? That's one of the things that we do. And sometimes people don't know what they're doing is wrong. Or they might know it, but they just need a reminder. And that's often what we have to do. Another spiritual work of mercy is admonish the sinner. Again, especially if you have a close relationship with somebody, they might be depending on you to tell them. So that's not the kind of judging Jesus is talking about. What he's saying, that none of us know, we can't judge the state of somebody's soul. In other words, I can't say if you're going to hell or not. I don't know that. And it's not my business. That's God's business. My business is to look at your external actions. And if I think that there is a reason to be concerned, lovingly let you know, hey, this, you're kind of on the wrong track here. I care about you. All right, that's my job. So that's what the Lord's talking about here. If you think it doesn't apply to you in your life, I want you to do me a favor. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. And I think you'll probably be surprised how often you judge people, because I know I do it a lot more than I should. Ask the Holy Spirit to let you know. See, we can ask the Holy Spirit these things. We forget. We try to do all this on our own. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you, to let you know how many times throughout the day you're judging somebody. And I think you'll be amazed. So these readings are good. Stay close to the Lord. Prayer is critical. It really is. And praying for the grace to listen to what he says and obey what he says is also critical. With that in mind, let's talk a little bit about prayer. And we are using the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Great little book published by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It's a summary, question and answer summary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So it's a really, really good book. It works good for this radio program, so I don't have to read really lengthy paragraphs. We're talking about guides for prayer, and now we are in beginning in paragraph 564. Let's talk a little bit about prayer. How are the saints guides for prayer? The saints are our models of prayer. We also ask them to intercede before the Holy Trinity for us and for the whole world. Their intercession is their most exalted service to God's plan. In the communion of saints throughout the history of the church, there have developed different types of spiritualities that teach us how to live and to practice the way of prayer. So the saints can help us. They can pray for us. We turn to our Blessed Mother at the start of the program. She prays for us. Saint Joseph can pray for us. All the saints can pray for us. Who can educate us in prayer? The Christian family is the first place of education in prayer. Daily family prayer is particularly recommended because it's the first witness to the life of prayer in the church. If you don't pray with your family, especially if you have young children, even if you have older children, it's a little harder to get started once they're older, but you've got to do it. Try your best. Start small. Don't subject them to a one-hour prayer meeting each night if they're not used to it. Do it gradually, and I think you'll be amazed at the fruit it will bear. We've seen it in the lives of in our life, and I think you'll see incredible benefits to your family life. Try. That's all you can do. You can try. If you have adult children, they don't want to pray with you anymore. You know, you can only push it so much before you push them away. pray for them, but try to live a life that gives glory to God. This is what Jesus told us to do. By our actions, we will give glory to God, or we should give glory to God. Are your actions doing that? Are you setting a good example for your kids? What places are conducive to prayer? One can pray anywhere, but the choice of an appropriate place is not a matter of indifference when it comes to prayer. The church is the proper place for liturgical prayer and Eucharistic adoration. Other places help one to pray, such as a prayer corner at home, a monastery, or a shrine. You have a little room in your house? Could you maybe make a little prayer corner? That would be very helpful. I have a little chapel set up in my office, and I have a kneeler. It's very conducive to prayer. So I'd recommend, if you can do that, just a little something, a little table with some statues, a crucifix. It'd be a great place to pray. What times are more suitable for prayer? Any time is suitable for prayer, but the church proposes to the faithful certain rhythms of praying intended to nourish continual prayer. Morning and evening prayer, prayer before and after meals, the Liturgy of the Hours, Sunday Eucharist, the Rosary, Feast of the Liturgical Year. St. Gregory of Nazianzus stated, "We must remember God more often than we draw breath." So key on the phrase, any time is suitable for prayer. You want to pray when you wake up in the morning. That's a great time because you haven't started your day yet. And throughout the day, try to fit in brief prayers. What are the expressions of the life of prayer? Generally, there are three forms for expressing and living prayer: vocal prayer, meditation, and contemplative prayer. Let's cover each one of these. Vocal prayer associates the body with the interior prayer of the heart. Even the most interior prayer cannot dispense with vocal prayer. In any case, it must spring from a personal faith. With the Our Father, Jesus has taught us the perfect form of vocal prayer. Vocal prayer is prayer that's spoken. That's all. It's very simple, but it has to come from the heart. In other words, you got to really mean it. You don't want to go through the motions. You don't want to just read the words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, you got to mean it. Slow it down. Pray less if you have to. Pray less words if you have to. And really concentrate on the words that you're praying. What is meditation? Meditation is a powerful reflection that begins above all in the Word of God and the Bible. Meditation engages thought, imagination, emotion, and desire in order to deepen our faith, convert our heart, and fortify our will to follow Christ. It's a first step toward a union of love with the Lord. Meditation's a fancy word. All it means is to think and ponder a certain truth of faith, or maybe a Bible passage, kind of like we did today. Jesus talking about not judging. Put yourself in that story. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the lesson the Lord has for you. What is contemplative prayer? Contemplative prayer is a simple gaze upon God in silence and love. It's a gift of God, a moment of pure faith during which the one praying seeks Christ, surrenders himself to the loving will of the Father, and places his being under the action of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's contemplative prayer. It's a little challenging sometimes. Don't panic if it's a little uncomfortable for you. Take your time, and eventually you'll get there. Why is prayer a battle? Prayer is a gift of grace, but it always presupposes a determined response on our part, because those who pray battle against themselves, their surroundings, and especially the tempter, or the evil one, right, the devil, who does all he can to turn them away from prayer. We pray as we live because we live as we pray. The battle of prayer is inseparable from progress in the spiritual life. If you don't force yourself to pray, even when you don't feel like it, you will never grow spiritually. That's what it's all about. You pray out of love, not because it feels good. That's really important. And as you get to know the Lord more, you're going to have more, I believe, you're going to have more times when it feels good to pray than it doesn't, but you're still going to have dry periods. Continue to pray. Why are there objections to prayer? Yes, some think prayer is useless. You can be discouraged in the face of difficulties and apparent lack of success. Humility, trust, and perseverance are necessary to overcome these obstacles. What are the difficulties in prayer? Distraction and dryness are two big ones. You know what they are. These are things we can all struggle. Is it possible to pray always? It's always possible, because wherever we are, we can be praying in some way. All right, I covered it quickly. I am out of time. I want to thank you for tuning in. God willing, we're going to be back here tomorrow. Have a wonderful night. May God bless you. Don't forget to pray.